Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva Naroktamam.
Naram Chaiva Naroktamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Tato Jayamudiraye.
Tato Jayamudiraye.
Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu.
Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
It's very nice to see all of you here today. I'm surprised to see so many devotees. I thought this would be a kind of small affair with the big festival happening on the weekend. So it's a great inspiration to see that devotees cannot resist coming to see Lord Nrisimhadev. I'm also happy to see that Nrisimha Kshetra is still going on. And we have really all of the several yatras surrounding Nrisimhadev to thank. Of course, the devotees who have been staying here over the last year. Because 1 year ago, we were all kind of holding our breath. Is it going to continue or not? But by the blessings of the senior devotees, especially it's by very no, because of your blessings, it's been going. So I just want to express my thanks for all of your help and determination that the Nrisimha Kshetra project continues. Shri Pallad Lakshmi Nrisimhadev ki
jai.
I thought also, as far as talking about Nrisimhadev goes, one thing I thought is that we should do it as a group project to kind of churn the nectar. And this means that I may have something to say, and then maybe there may be some. I would say it is legitimate to interrupt when one gets inspired to say something, to interject something, if one so desires. One might suddenly have, you know,
the urge.
The urge to say something. Let it come out. Rather than we have just a kind of monologue thing. I was also thinking that, you know, why is it we are sitting here and speaking? All of us here have our realizations of Nrisimhadev, and perhaps some of you want to express those, if not during this session, in the course of our festival, or also in this session. I think also that it's a day when we are celebrating that we are celebrating the feeling of protection of the Lord. The Lord appears as Nrisimhadev to protect Prahlad, and we celebrate that fact, and we experience, we feel ourselves that somehow we are protected individually and collectively, that the Krishna consciousness movement is being protected, that despite ourselves, it is going on, but also by the blessings of the Lord, it is going on, and by His protection as well. Srila Prabhupada instituted the chanting of these Nrisimha prayers that we chant every day in Los Angeles. There's a recording of him chanting those verses, Namaste Narasimha Haya, Prahlada Ladadayini, Hiranyakashipurvakshaha, Shilatam Kanya Kalaye, Ito Nishimha Vato Nishimho,
yato yato yam yato nishimho vahir nishimho hidaye nishimho vatasinam harim sharanam rapatoye.
And then Prabhupada started Tavakada Kamalavare, and the devotees didn't know any of this yet, so they were kind of hesitantly trying to follow along. But it's very charming if you listen to that recording, how Prabhupada is trying to get the devotees to chant. It strikes me, though, that we're not usually aware of what we're chanting, what it all means when we chant. So maybe this is a time for that reminder. You can kind of go through these two verses and remind ourselves what we're saying when we say it. Namaste Narasimhaya, I bow, namaste, unto you, Lord Narasimha. Actually, it's not a direct address, it's in the data case, so it's unto him, unto Lord Narasimhaya. Prahlada Dayin, he who, unto him, who bestows his daya, his mercy, his compassion, upon he who is joyful, namely Prahlada Adadai, or he who gives joy, Ahlada, unto Prahlada, he who is very joyful. So Prahlada, who is very joyful, receives his joy from Nrisimhadeva, who is the bestower of that joy unto him. And then the next line is interesting. We always remember he who inspired, of course, Nrisimhadeva is inspired to appear because of Prahlada. But in some kind of sense, he's also inspired because of Hiranyakashipu. And it always strikes me how we always remember this greatest of demons, Hiranyakashipu, by chanting his name. Hiranyakashipu vakshaha shila tanka naka alaye. I offer obeisances unto the alaya, unto the place, the realm, the reservoir, the person who has nails, which are tanka, Prabhupada translates as chisels. He has nails like chisels, which chisel at the stone-like chest. Shila means stone, and vaksha means chest. So Hiranyakashipu vaksha shila. Tankanaka, he who has nails which are chiseling away at this hard chest of Hiranyakashipu. And of course, we know what happens when he does that. He sort of alters Hiranyakashipu's physiognomy in various ways. And then the next verse is very important. Ito Narasimha Parato Narasimha. Itaha Ita Narasimha Parataha Narasimha. Narasimhadeva is here. Itaha Parataha. He is also elsewhere. So he's present wherever I am. He's also where others are. Ito Nrisimha, Parato Nrisimha, Yato Yato Yami, wherever I go, Yami, I go. Yataha Yataha, wherever I go. Tataha, at that place Nrisimhadeva is. So this is very inspiring for the devotees. That wherever we are, Nrisimhadeva is there. That is the conviction of Prahlada Maharaj. Prahlada was convinced the Lord is present wherever I am. There is no cause for anxiety. Ito Narasimha Parato Narasimha Yato Yato Yami Hato Narasimha Bahir Narasimha. What is Bahir? Yes, he is outside Bahir Nasimha. Pridaye Nasimha, he is present in the heart. Nasingham Adin, that original half man, half lion. Sharanam Kripadya, I throw myself, I take shelter in him. The original Lord. So Namaste Narasinghaya Prahlada Lada Daine Hiranya Kashipur Bhakshaha Shiladam Kana Kana Ito Nisingha Parato Nisingho Yato Yato Yami Tato Nisingha Bahir Nisingha Hridaye Nisingha Narasingham Hadim Sharanam Prabhadye. This we're chanting again and again. We can take it to heart as we offer these prayers. And then comes this prayer, which is an address to Nrsimhadev. Tava, your hands. Tava kara kamalavare nakam. Adbhuta singh, oh wonderful lion who has these wonderful hands that do this, which are like lotuses. They're compared first to chisels, now they're compared to lotuses. Beautiful lotuses. Tava kala kamala vade nakam adbhuta singham dalita hiranyakashipu. Again, hiranyakashipu tanu vrnam. Like a bumblebee, Nrsimhadev is moving. Keshava dritta narahari rupa jaya jagadisha hare. I'm addressing Hari, who is Jaya Jagadisha, who is the Lord of the universe. And he is Keshava Dritta. He has taken on, or he has assumed this form, this half-man, half-lion form. I think it's also significant for us as members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement that the Lord appears as a half man, half lion, half human being, half beast. Srila Prabhupada often would say that this Krishna Consciousness Movement is bringing us to the platform, first of all, of being human beings. And from that level, then we can go on to being devotees. So the Lord very kindly appears in this form halfway between human and not human, in order to uplift us who are coming from less than human condition to the human condition, to elevate us to be as Prahlad. Now also, of course, Prahlad is identified as a daitya, as a demon. But he is the best of the demons. And of course, he's the best of the devotees simultaneously. So we celebrate this day as the appearance of Nrsimha, but we are especially concerned to remember the mood of Prahlad, who's worshipping Nrsimhadev. It's not that we try to take on the mood of Nrsimhadev, going out and, you know, tearing people to pieces. That's not our mood. This is our mood, the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad is sitting on the lap of Nrsimhadev very peacefully, offering prayers and submission to the Lord. So that mood is the one we are aspiring for, we are coming to, by the mercy of this half-man, half-lion incarnation of the Lord. Finally, for now, I'll just say that in that connection, there's a prayer in this fifth canto of Prahlad Maharaj, which is a prayer of benediction to the whole universe. After he prays to Lord Nrsimhadev to purify his heart, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jaste Se Adhiravya Bhava Vajjanaka Vajjadam Shratamashayam Randhaya Randhaya Tamo Grahasa Om Svaha Avayam Avayam Atmani Vuishta Om Shraum. Yeah, I was just remembering it's 18 and not 12. 18.8. And then 18.9 is very interesting. Svasya Sivishvasikalapasivatam. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. So Prahlad Maharaj is a well-wisher of everyone. And similarly, we want to become well-wishers of everyone. This is really the essence of the preaching mission. The Sankirtan movement is to be a well-wisher of everyone. Prahlad Maharaj was not upset with his father. He wished that his father be benedicted despite his confusion, despite his problem. That he be benedicted by Nisimadeva. So he says, Svasti Astu, let there be Svasti, let there be auspiciousness throughout the universe. And may anyone who is envious, and we might ourselves find some traces of envy within our hearts, let anyone who is envious become satisfied, become peaceful. Let them be pacified. Let's proceed. Let everyone be pacified. That is Prahlad. So this is also a day for well-wishing. Let us wish everyone well. Those who are near and dear to us and those farther away from us whom we don't know. Let everyone be happy. And let them eventually... Let everyone go back home, back to Godhead. This is Prahlad's prayer. Svasyasya vishvasya kala prasidatam Jayantu bhutani shivam mitodhya Manascha badram majitara tokshide alishitam no matina apnyayit. So this is a wonderful prayer. There's a series here of 6 or 7 or 8 prayers given by Prahlad Maharaj as a resident of Jambudvipa. We won't go through them all now unless others of our speakers would like to. Okay, I will stop there and ask, shall we ask Sarabhavi to speak? Yes, fine. Shishri Prahlad Lakshmi Nisnidev Ki. If you like, you can sit here and then.
Hare Krishna. I'd like to take off from a point that Krishna Kshetra Prabhu was making regarding the initiating of prayers being introduced by Srila Prabhupada. Just a little history that prior to Srila Prabhupada's going to the West to preach, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada had sent 3 other disciples of his, and each one of them were actually initiated into the Nrisimha mantra. In fact, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had discovered, in fact, excavated in Godrum, the Kurma Rupa Shila, which later on was given to him by his father and Shiksha Guru, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to worship. At the age of 7, he started worshiping the Shalagram Shila, which is the Kurma Rupa. He would worship him with Nrisimha prayers. And so all the other disciples prior to Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada, were actually initiated into the Nrisimha mantra so that they themselves will be protected, as well as whatever they would establish in the future would then be protected by Nrisimhadeva. And this was more or less Prabhupada's intention, that we all chant the Nrisimha prayers every morning, desiring and praying to Lord Nrisimha to protect this movement that had gone global, as well as protect our own devotion against the onslaught of the illusory energy of the Lord. And there are certain aspects of Nrisimhadeva that are not really so often discussed, because owing to the fact that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga Avatar, and he did introduce the Yuga Dharma, and the process of attaining pure love to Krishna is in the chanting of the holy name. So certain other aspects, certain other incarnations are not really delved into their different characteristics. And one that really interested me was that in the on the tongue, as well as in his heart, we have the different. There are 8 different potencies of the Lord, and Sri Lakshmi is sitting on his heart. In his heart, Vakshi Jasya Lakshmi Sri, and Bhagisha Jasya Badane. Bhag is Saraswati Devi. But when we talk about Saraswati sitting on the tongue of Lord Nrisimha Devi, it is Suddha Saraswati. And usually Saraswati Devi, like we see in the confluence of Prayag, where the 3 rivers confluence, Saraswati is not visible. Jamuna Devi and Ganga Devi are visible. The reason is that Saraswati does not want to manifest herself in the material world, where she is accepted to be a giver of mundane knowledge. Saraswati Devi gives knowledge. We know that from a nice pastime that with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Keshav Kashmiri. Keshav Kashmiri was the Digvijay. He had conquered all directions with his erudition. And he came to, there was only one person or one pandit still on the planet, so to speak, who he hadn't defeated, which was a hindrance to him to get that full title of Digvijay. And of course the details are there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was defeated by Nimai Pandit, a very young grammar teacher, and he prayed to Saraswati Devi that how is it possible for a young grammar teacher to defeat me in such a manner where in the eye of public where we could see. And there in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada writes that the reason that in every yuga, Saraswati Devi asserts herself as wanting to be worshipped as one who gives transcendental knowledge, Suddha Saraswati, and not mundane knowledge. And therefore, the pastimes are always repeated where mundane knowledge is inefficient to realize the purushartha, the highest goal of human life. So Nishinadev also has this aspect, as we discussed, of half lion and half man. Now, a soul's transition from tamaguna to sattvaguna is what is signified by this half man and half lion. One has to come to the platform of sattvaguna before one can understand the vigyan, bhakti vigyan, the transcendental science of bhakti, and practice it. So, once having attained the sattvaguna platform, tatramastayos bhava, kama loha dayascha ye, once you have conquered tama and raja, which is signified by lust, anger, greed, and the six enemies of the mind, then one is situated. Sthite sattve prasidati. You become situated in sattva guna. And only then, evam prasanna manoso, bhakti yoga, then becomes, bhakti yoga starts manifesting. So, praying to Nishinadev is a prayer that will uplift us from the platform of sattva guna to the platform of suddha sattva and visuddha sattva. Suddha sattva is a platform which is transcendental to the modes of material nature. So the consciousness goes through different stages. It's not that right from the tamasic consciousness that we are born into. We are born into the duality and illusion. And from that stage, it's not possible to immediately jump to the platform of transcendence. Our consciousness has to go through these transitional stages, which is naturally helped very quickly, very swiftly to be achieved by the chanting of holy name in this particular age of Kali. Especially when one does it under the guidance of a spiritual master. Because without the guidance of a spiritual master, the holy name does not reveal his full potency. Potency that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about, that he has invested in the holy name, does not fully manifest. It remains on the platform of pious activities of chanting Vedic mantras, which leads to mukti. But this mukti is suddha sattva. This is the transcendental position from which one may or will definitely fall down. In the prayers of Lord Brahma to Krishna, when after he had stolen the calves and the cowherd boys, he realized his mistake. And then he prays that, Arujya Krishna Param Padam Tataha, that one may attain that Parampara, which is the transcendental or Sutta Sattva platform, by performing severe austerities. Aruju Krichena. But if one does not develop other love, anadritya yushma dangraya, if one does not develop this love for Krishna's lotus feet, then patanti adaha, he will certainly fall down. But there is rarely a chance that one develops love for Krishna's lotus feet once one has already attained the Suddha Sattva platform, because there he is totally absorbed in Brahmananda. There is no kankshati, nasochati. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, nasochati na kankshati. There is no lamentation and there is no fear, anxiety. So in that platform, the desire to worship the lotus feet of Krishna or develop love for Krishna's lotus feet does not take place in the heart. So Nishinadev actually helps us to skip this very dangerous, so to speak, platform of Suddha Sattva. He helps us to avoid being attracted to the platform of Brahman realization, Brahmananda. Actually, the scriptures are saying that Brahmananda is so insignificant compared to the Anandam Buddhivardhanam Pratipadam Purna Amrita Aswadhanam. With every step that we experience the joy, the full ocean of happiness is ever increasing, cannot be experienced in Brahmananda, and therefore it is insignificant. So when we pray to Lord Nishinadev, we are praying to Lord Nishinadev, in whose heart is situated Lakshmidev, who gives us pure devotion, unalloyed devotion, and to Saraswati Devi, who is situated on his tongue, to give us Suddha Visuddha Sattva or Suddha Saraswati, the platform of the understanding of the platform of what pure devotion is. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
That interests me is the ghastly nature of the form of Lord Shivadeva, and how for an outsider it is almost inconceivable that one could worship such a form as the Supreme Lord, a very fearsome form, half man, half lion, killing someone, intestines around the neck, blood all over the place, and there are pictures to describe them and also verses here. So I thought we'll begin there. Just add a little spice. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 9, of Vlad, who pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 15. My lords, who are never conquered by anyone, I'm certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp, pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high, wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. So, like every other devotee, I also grew up with Lord Nisringadev for protection, and I also was never afraid of Lord Nisringadev. And it was very nice to every time chant the prayers to Lord Nisringadev for protection. But then, when Providence had it so that one day I went through a heavy experience and I was shot, and well, you think like some demons are taking action now upon the demons. Then, after I had recovered, I was taking the darshan of Lord Nisringadev in Mayapur, and I must admit, I felt some fear in my heart. I felt like, my God, my Lord, are you heavy? You are indeed very, very heavy. And seeing the heaviness of the Lord in front of me, I was becoming a little afraid now of the heaviness of the Lord and hoping that it wasn't going to continue. So it is, if we deeply think about it, quite intense to worship the Lord in such a heavy form. And the question is, why anyway in the first place, if isn't it so that Lord Krishna protects his devotees? Isn't it so that Krishna playfully takes care of many demons? He dances on the hoops of Kaliya very elegantly, well-dressed, etc., and yet fixing up that demon once and for all. Casey, the Lord, stands there very casual, lets him come, sticks his hand in the throat of the horse, suffocates him, swings him around, smashes him on the ground dead. And we see similar dealings like that with other demons, all kind of very expertly killed, and yet Krishna kind of remains unruffled at all. He's known as a sharp dresser, and he dresses very elegantly, and well, he seems to effortlessly take care of killing so many demons. So why, of course, today is the appearance day of Lord Nisringadev. So we are observing the appearance day of the various incarnations of the Lord. The prayers that we are chanting are found in the Dasavatar Stotra. So why are we not also chanting the prayers to the other incarnations of the Lord? Why particularly this incarnation? And why are we worshipping this form on a daily basis? Why do we actually need to come to the Bavarian forest to worship a dark form of the Lord, right, who is worshipped with black chamaras, right, and all kinds of paraphernalia like that? So questions like that could come to one's mind. It is very nice, actually, if we contemplate the form of Lord Nisringadev, because we can understand that actually the form of Lord Nisringadev is not manifesting his ghastliness, but rather is manifesting his soft-heartedness, his gentle nature, is very kind and gentle nature upon his devotee, because he is totally driven by this kindness. And of course, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to kill a demon is no effort at all. There is really no need for the Lord to personally come and descend to this world to kill a demon. If he wants to kill a demon, he can simply dissolve him or have some other method, and which really doesn't involve his personal interference. But there is a story of Akbar which illustrates this point, because Akbar once asked this question to one of his ministers, why the Lord personally becomes involved with his devotee. He said he has so many energies or agents. What is the need for him to personally do this? He could just simply do these things by his desire. So the minister then arranged the following, that Akbar was very fond of his grandson, and he arranged that a statue was made of the grandson, which was in wax, which looked a lot like that statue. And he had one man walk near a lake with this statue, and then the man slipped, right, while carrying the statue, and the statue just dropped into the lake. So Akbar just ran to that lake, dived in, and went for his grandson. He went to save his grandson, only to find out that it was a statue. And anyway, then the minister gave the purport, the explanation to it all, and explained that, see, why, he asked him, why did you personally dive in the water? You have so many secretaries, soldiers, so that you could have just ordered someone, jump! Why did you jump yourself? He said, no, I had to do this myself. He said, my grandson is so dear to me, I couldn't leave it to anyone else. I had to take it up personally. So here we're seeing that Lord Nrisimhadev personally takes it up. And not only does he personally takes it up, but he becomes so deeply emotionally involved with his devotee that he takes this form of half man, half lion, to express his terrible anger. So it is very nice to see here that the Supreme Lord is highly personal and deeply involved with his devotee. And this is the most encouraging aspect. Not that the Lord is somewhat, he is a person, but at the same time semi-impersonal and just sends some energy. No, he comes personally in his most voracious form. Another interesting aspect of the reason why Lord Nrisimhadev appeared in this particular form was to uphold the words of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma had given the promise, and Srila Prabhupada often commented on this in various lectures, about the principle of Rishi Vakya, that the words of the saintly personality that has been spoken, that the Lord upholds those words. And here also we're seeing that the Lord was very carefully upholding the words of the Supreme Lord, and in this way defeated or cheated Hiranyakasipu, who thought that he was so intelligent that he had cheated or defeated the Supreme Lord by his manipulation. But this did not work. Obviously, the Lord answered every point and kept every element of the benediction that Lord Brahma had given intact. So Prabhupada said, yes, Rishi Vakya, the Lord, keeps the promise of his devotee intact. So if the devotee simply promises that he will take, or that a particular devotee can go back to Godhead, right, then on the strength of those words, one can go back to Godhead. So in one discussion on an explanation of this pastime of Hiranyakasipu being killed by Nrsimhadev and the Lord keeping the promise of Lord Brahma intact, Prabhupada made this point. The point that if the devotee, if the pure devotee gives that assurance that yes, simply follow me and you will go back to Godhead, then the Lord will uphold that. And that's a very important principle in our movement, that we can be delivered on the strength of Prabhupada's promise, not so much on the strength of our own greatness and devotion. Still, back to my original question, why are we worshipping this particular form of the Lord? And why not Lord Krishna directly, who also is the protector of his devotees? Because, for two reasons. One is the Lord himself is very, very much in the spirit of protection. Obviously, the form of Lord Nrsimhadev is also partially the form of the Lord's anger personified. The Lord also himself takes that particular form to fulfill his own purpose, to express his anger. There are multi-purposes being fulfilled. One is to uphold the promise of Lord Brahma, but the other one is clearly also that the Lord expresses his anger in this particular form. So we are especially taking shelter of that form. The voracious appearance of the Lord in this form is obviously
Was he voracious also? Did he drink the blood? No, there's no. Did he taste it?
It's possible.
We wouldn't hold it beyond him. There's no doubt. But we are referring to ferocious. So that ferocious form of the Lord is offering great fear to the demons and simultaneously confidence to the devotees. So it is support. We are getting strength in our to become fearless. So it is another manifestation of the mercy of the Lord to instill fearlessness in us, so that we can overcome the fearsome appearance of the material world due to our insignificance. We are small and insignificant creatures and so easily intimidated by the material energy. So by this form, the Lord shows that he gives unlimited support and therefore encourages us. So in this way, a devotee can get special strength from meditating on the form of Lord Nrsimhadev to overcome the ghastly aspects of material nature. And since we are so weak, we certainly need all support. So this could be some reasons why particularly we are worshipping this form of Lord Nrsimhadev for our protection over the form of Lord Krishna. Also, we are remembering Lord Nisringadeva's Vignavinasana, the remover of obstacles on the path of devotional service, who does not just drive away the external demons, but also the demon-like desires within our hearts. So, there also, we are especially approaching the Lord for His mercy. So, these are some of the thoughts I was contemplating on, and Preetu has returned, so I thought we should ask him to give us the cream on the cake.
A couple of days ago, we had a marriage here, and the parents, some of the parents were engaged Christians, to such a degree that one of the parents said, when I came, I was asking the question, can I reconcile it with my faith as a Protestant to sit in a Hindu ritual? Can I do this actually? A graven image in front of us, and I'm sitting here as a Protestant Catholic or a Protestant Christian, and I'm engaging into a Hindu ritual where a classical heathen idol is being worshipped. And so then he said, that was the first thing, he said,
at that point,
are you worshipping cats?
Oh, are you worshiping cats?
So out of this discussion, it became a very illuminated discussion we had. And the first point was, are we worshiping cats now? No, we don't. And I explained to him the story of Lord Nisringadeva that we all know, and I don't have to repeat it. And I ended it with the idea, yes, we shouldn't make a form of God according to our imagination. Now, none of us has imagination enough to create a form of God, half lion, half man. Nobody of us has invented it. In fact, mundane religion is to create an image of God. That you create God with a long beard, or God has no name, that is actually that you create God in your own image. That's right there. Whereas we take Krishna as he is, what happens here is just Krishna's pastime. We just depict what actually happens. It was not our idea, it is not our opinion, it is not our conception of God. There's nothing to do. When I saw Lord Shigane the first time also, I became frightened too. But the fact is, this is not a graven image according to our own imagination, because we also agree that we shouldn't worship an image of God according to our own imagination, because that's idol worship. The sentence, of course, comes in the Old Testament, in the Torah, rather, to be a little bit more kind to the Jewish population. It comes because they were surrounded on one side and the south by people who were worshipping demigods and animals in Egypt, and Baal worshippers in the north, which is another demigod worship where graven images are worshipped. And so therefore, in Jewish tradition, there's this anger given, not to worship anything and everything you can imagine to be God. Don't worship according to your own imagination. So that's the first point that I pointed out, that this is actually just the opposite. You think this is worship of an image according to our own imagination, you're very wrong. If you have a religion according to your own conception, that's worshiping God according to your own imagination. And mundane religion means that. Mundane religion that Krishna says should be given up, Sarva Dharma and Prajaja, is because it is not Shruti, Smriti, Puranari, Pancha Ratchika, Vidimbhika, Akantike, Harayat, Bhakti, Utparayara. It is religion which causes disturbance because it is not supported by Shruti, Smriti, Puranari, by the Shastra. it becomes a disturbance. So that, when we talk about don't worship God according to your image, or don't, the graver image discussion, when this ever comes up, they say, well, that's exactly what we are not doing. We don't have a graven image. We don't imagine. We don't have anything. We don't have even an opinion about God. We just take whatever is coming from Scripture, and here Scripture shows us how the Lord looks, and therefore we depict Him as He looks. That's the first point in the whole discussion, and that was kind of enlightening for the gentleman on the other side. And I said the second thing: since you're a Christian, obviously. Devotees are suffering. Jesus was suffering. And here is Prahlad, he's suffering in the hand of a demon. And there are so many devotees who are suffering. Haryasthaka was suffering. Does it mean that the suffering of a devotee frees somebody else from karma, as Christians think? And I said, I don't think so. The suffering, naturally the suffering of a devotee is different from the suffering of a karmi, a person in the material world. He suffers his own karma. Did Jesus suffer his own karma? No. Did Haridasthakur, when he was beaten over 21 marketplaces, suffer his karma? No. Did Bhishma Dev, being pierced by 1,000 arrows, suffer his karma? No. Did Prahlad suffer his karma? No, obviously. Then what is going on? Well, what we see here is that these are personalities that, A, they're living, as Jesus said, in the kingdom of God. That means they are one who sees me everywhere and sees everywhere in me. Yumam pashyati savatra samam chamay pashyati. I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. Yato, yato, yamitato nishingo, wherever I go, I see Lord Nishinga Dev. There's a person who lives in the kingdom of God. And he's not under the laws of karma. He's not under the law. He's in the personal presence of the Lord, like Prahlad or Haridasthaku. They're in the presence of Krishna. And therefore, even if they suffer, it is very minute in comparison to the ecstasy they're experiencing. Because Brahma-bhuta prasanatma, and mundane religions don't know that. They don't know that. People on that level, they have Brahma-bhuta prasanatma. They're full of ecstasy. Na sochati, they have no desires, na kanchani, they don't lament. They don't lament, because if you're in the presence of God, then even if people torture you, even if people crucify you, even if people beat you over 21 marketplaces, it is almost irrelevant, or at least very little in comparison to the ecstasy that they're experiencing. That's the first thing. Now, when you see a devotee, I said, like Jesus, you interpret his sufferings. It can't be his karma, naturally we agree, so it must be that he takes upon the karma of somebody else, because you are making a graven image of Jesus, you're interpreting his suffering according to the old Judaic idea that somebody has to suffer on your behalf in the temple when an animal is offered so that you can become free from karma. You bring a pigeon, or you bring a calf, or you bring whatever, and the karma, your own karma, is transferred on the head of an innocent animal, and therefore when the animal is killed, you become free from karma. That's the old mechanism of redemption in the Jewish tradition. So you interpret the suffering of a devotee in these terms. You see the point? You're interpreting, that's your angle on it, but it is not so. A devotee may well undergo suffering, but it is transcendental. It has nothing to do with the material world. And another thing is, even further, a devotee is not under material laws, because he's completely protected by God, even when he suffers. Haridasthaka was thrown into the... He said, nobody could kill him. And finally, people asked him, will you die for us? Otherwise, we get killed. He said, sure, I die. Fell on the ground, they threw him into the river, and he walked out as a river. In the same way, Bhishma, he was pierced by 1,000 arrows. He couldn't die, because Mahatmanastuman Pata Daivin Prakriti Mashita, the great souls under the protection of my divine nature, they're not under material laws. They're under Krishna's law, under Krishna's personal protection. Bhishma couldn't die, Haryasthaka couldn't die, Prahlad couldn't die. And in the same way, Jesus couldn't die. If you think he died, you're wrong. Prabhupada said that. He walked out of the grave as much as Haridasthaku walked out of the Ganges River. That's another point that we can learn, that if somebody is a devotee, in the example of Prahlad Maharaj, you can throw him from a river, from a cliff, you can pierce him with weapons. You can give him poison. You can put him into a snake, into a pit of snakes. You can run him through a German Jupiter meat grinder. I'm not changing Hare Krishna. You can't kill him because he's not under the German Jupiter meat grinders of world famous. They're very good, but you can't kill a devotee. It's not possible. Whether it's Jesus or Bhishma or Hayastaku or Pallad, this is the lesson we have. That's the glory of the whole thing. That's the gist of the whole thing. That if a devotee is suffered and is crucified and walks out of the grave, that's what we have to learn. The point that's made by Krishna, that you can't kill my devotee. 2,000 years have gone and people have missed out on that. That's the issue at hand. That somebody is so great, he's in the kingdom of God, he can't be killed. Or somebody so great like Pallad, he can't be killed. So that's the second point. And the third point is, we had quite a vivid discussion. I said, the third point is, you think that, because he said, well, you try to please God by getting up early in the morning, performing all these penances, we don't have to do all these things because we are saved by the precious blood of Jesus. I said, you're very wrong. I said, you're very wrong. It's not that we don't have to do anything. It's not that Pallad didn't have to do anything. Pallad was highly qualified. He was a highly qualified Vaishnava. He told his friends, when they were 4 years old, let's chant Hare Krishna, let's forget about material advancement, let's go towards Krishna consciousness. Now is the time to worship Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. The whole thing he explained, devotion service. So we have to do something, not like sometimes Christians say, well, not by works you will be saved. The idea which is called, we are not saved by Werkgerechtigkeit, becoming just by work. No, that's by not work alone a person will be saved, but he also has to do something. Pallad did something, certainly. A devotee has to do something. The mercy of God is there, that's a fact. And we are saved by the mercy of God, not by our own deeds alone, but the deeds have to be there. It's not that we don't have to do anything, that we can just go in a pub and drink for the glories of Jesus of Nazareth, and then he'll suffer our sins, and we go back to heaven, and then we can keep on drinking. This is not the idea. We have to qualify ourselves. It is really a cooperation between God and the living entity. We have to do our part, and then God will help us. Then God will help us. And this leads us to the fourth point. It is actually Krishna who is saving his devotee. It's not that by our own deeds. That has to be there. But it is Krishna who personally pulls us out of the material world. He is saving his devotee, like he saves Pallad. He's saving Bhishmadev. He saves Haridas Thakur. It is the Lord himself. Nobody can save himself by his own deeds. And so, if you preach like this to a person who is a Christian, he's astounded. Because in a very short time, from worshipping a cat, he learns a lot, not about our own spirituality, but about his own spirituality. That don't make a graven image of God, don't concoct, don't invent religion. Dharman hi sakshat bhagavat pranitan. Religion is given by God, and we better hear what he's saying than postulating our own ideas, which is nothing but to make an image of God. Thank you very much.
So did the man stay? I'm asking you, did the man stay?
Yeah, he was impressed. He was very, they walked out, they said, we were very disturbed when we came, but now we can see that this is something wonderful and something we have to think about, and it's we never expected it. They all walked out of the door completely satisfied. Certainly didn't expect that. That there was a very learned from worshipping a cat, there was a whole purpose that not only addressed our own sin, addressed his own faith and the limits of it. And talking about, you know, inventing religion or making an image of God, you better cool it before we get into it very deeply. So he was very impressed, he liked it.
One thought I have, we do in some sense worship a cat. That's a cat. I was also recalling
Bhaktivinoda Thakur's comment, Sarabhava Prabhupada, it's called the Navadvipa Tarangini.
Yeah.
That where Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that we worship Nrisimhadev, and he says it in a very wonderful poetic way, but basically he's saying, he's praying to Nrisimhadev at Nrisimhapalli in Navadvip. May he give his blessings upon us so that we can approach Radha Krishna. So it's not that we don't worship Krishna. I a little bit got the impression you were saying we don't worship Krishna, and I got worried about that, but maybe I misunderstood. I'm sure I did. Yeah, maybe. Just getting that straight. Does anyone have some comments, some thought, some question to anyone or several of us here? I see that.
Yes, Prabhupada has spoken about the Liebesbriefe von Robin Schengel des Heimkämpfer. Ein bisschen leider, ich glaube, und es müssen wohl Blutorangen sein.
I couldn't hear it.
In English?
Yes, but loudly, please.
Yes, we discussed what we could offer Lord Shringadev. Uh-huh. What are his favorite fruits? And then he thought it must be blood oranges.
actually, in South India, the priests in the And there are many Nrsingha temples, especially in Andhra Pradesh. And I asked them some years ago, what does Nrsingha like? And they all said he likes sweets. So I think, sweet fruits, if you're thinking of fruit.
No vegetarian sausages.
Doesn't Pritu Prabhu have beautiful teeth now?
They're not my own, that much is sure.
I wondered this morning, why is everyone taking photos during Mangal Arati of Pritu Prabhu? And then I anyway. So sweets of... He likes honey. There's one deity of Nrsimhadev called Panan Nrsimha. It's a temple way up high on a hill where they offer what they call panakam. And this is a drink. Basically, it's water and jaggery, or this brown sugar, with some spices. Cardamom and pepper.
Where is that? Mangalgiri.
Mangalgiri. It's south. It's on the coast.
It's before Vishakhapatnam.
South of Puri.
Yeah. Just as soon as you enter into Andhra Pradesh from Arisa.
From Arisa into Kannada.
You go all the way up several, I don't know, hundreds of steps up to this temple, and then at Darshan. It's actually Nrsimhadev is appearing. His face comes out of this mountain, and he has a mouth which goes into the mountain, and you give, at least this was some years ago, you give Pujari 10 rupees, and he'll take a pot and he'll go all the way down these hundreds of stairs and get water, and he'll carry it all the way back. And then he'll sit there and grind the spices and put everything together and mix and put it into a pot. And then offer to this deity by pouring, I mean literally pouring, into this open mouth in the mountain. And at a certain point you'll hear a gurgling sound. And at that point, he'll stop pouring. And it's always half the amount, whether it's a smaller pot or a bigger pot, however much you offer. Half of that, he'll accept, and the other half, he'll leave as prasad for you.
Srila Bhagavan ki
jai!
That's amazing. So even if it's I just wanted
That's what they say. I didn't make experiments with several different sizes. I only had one.
Actually, this was in a different kalpa. And then Nrisimhadev was fighting with Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu tried to run away from Nrisimhadev and he took shelter inside this huge cave.
That cave.
In that particular cave. And Lord Nrisimhadev followed Hiranyakashipu into that cave, slew him there, but he didn't want to come out anymore because he said, this is my perfect place. This is where I live. Originally, this is where I live. Because after all, he is a half lion there. And you may worship me there in this particular form. So in that kalpa, Lord Nrisimhadev remained in the cave. And down below, interestingly enough, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there also visiting. And there's a Padapitam established by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur when he was touring the south. He had visited this place and has made a beautiful impression of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet to mark the occasion when Mahaprabhu was there visiting. That was there. That's also interesting. And down below, before you start from the mountain, there's a deity of Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman and Sita and Hanuman, which was worshipped by Yudhishthira Maharaj in the previous kalpa, previous yuga almost, in the beginning of So this is a very interesting place for devotees to visit.
It's your turn.
My turn?
Yes, you're on the spot.
No, I spoke before that. You were not here. You were probably writing your points down.
No, I'm going to telephone to you again.
Yeah. Okay. So I already have one.
Actually, I wanted to ask, is there any description why not, Lord Krishna, this form of half cat, a man, took, but not like him? He could have done the same business as Anantashesha and just ripped him apart with his snake teeth. So why is he particularly taking the form of this?
No,
there's so any description? I mean, if there's not, then what's your question?
Well,
half man,
half lion, because it can't be a, according to the benediction, it could neither be a human nor an animal.
A snake is
it could have been maybe half man, half snake, or I guess.
It could have been, yeah.
Yeah, you can argue that with your snake. Why did you appear?
Just saying. No, but asking, is there any description why particularly he chose that? That's right. Not that you know, of course.
It's not that he just took this form, it's just because it is his eternal form. And he manifests this. Taking this particular Leela with Prahlad Maharaj as a means to manifest this form on the planet. Eternal form, he is worshipped as Nrisimhadev.
But I heard in a lecture that actually the form Lord Krishna manifests as Nrisimhadev, for example, or Matsya, is not eternally present in Vaikuntha. Vishnu is there in his original...
No, when you say Matsya and Kurma...
Or whatever.
And Nrisimha, there are two different incarnations.
Of course there are two.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Whereas Nrisimhadev has an eternal planet, Matsya and Kurma...
Doesn't it?
They don't have a planet, but because they are very merciful and they have to come... See, Nrisimhadev comes in one kalpa. Whereas Matsya Kurma comes several times in one kalpa. It's not that in every yuga he comes. He comes sometimes twice in a yuga, depending on the change of Manvantara. So they reside in the Patala Lokas. There are seven lower planetary systems, Rasatal, Patal, and there in a huge lake is where Kurma, Matsya, and are residing. Yeah. It's because they have to come so often. So
the Leela Avatar.
So yeah. This is all explained in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita.
Which?
Especially Rupa Goswami. It's given there in detail.
Oh, okay. So when Brahma gives this benediction to Hiranyakashipu, that he knows that Hiranyakashipu is in this form, he exists in this form, he knows that when he gives this benediction.
Who, Lord Brahma?
Yeah.
That Lord Nisingadeva existed in this form. That, of course, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it, because, you see, Lord Brahma was, after all, totally enlightened by the sound of Krishna's flute. So these things would be known to him.
Then, see, another point, it was not that Brahma gave some benediction. It was Hiranyakashipu said, let me not die in this condition, that condition, let me not die. He made all the conditions.
That's right.
And Brahma said, let it be. It's not Brahma was controlling the whole process. He was just giving, going along with it.
That's true.
I have a question on any one of you who wants to talk about. I know some other...
Guns love.
Some other, I remember to have read sometimes that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was speaking about these Leela avatars as parallel to the evolution. Anyone have heard that? Is that correct? Is that exist, or is that just a concoction of mine?
Sarah Dalvin's specialty.
Specialist on evolution.
Specialist on Bhaktisiddhanta.
I hope you don't make me a Darwin incarnation.
Well, some actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada spoke against it rather than supported this view. This was more or less a preaching strategy rather than an actual siddhanta. But we don't like to support this view, because that would be in absentia, so to speak, proving Darwin's theory right. Because we don't accept, Prabhupada never accepted Darwin's theory, and actually there are many scientists who don't either. But what is here as Siddhanta is actually a prayer by Prahlad Maharaj to Nrisimhadeva, where he is chanting Ittham, Nirtirja, Deva, Rishi Chashavatarai. Says, you appear in many, many forms. You appear as human, male, Tirja as animal, Deva as demigod, like Ajit, Rishi, you know. But you come, why? Because Lokan Vibhavaya, see, because you have taken upon yourself to protect the planet Earth, that your creation, not the Earth, I mean the whole creation. So as a part of your duty as the maintainer, you take these different forms depending on what is required. Now, it's not that he imagines this form. He allows the human beings, that's the demons, to think of ways of trying the demoniac mentality, to impose it on the human beings, just like Hiranyakashipu. He just took out so much gold, the earth fell into the waters. And to match that, Lord took the form of the wonderful boar and lifted the earth out of it. Or when, because of the flood, the Vedas were lost, so then Matsya comes and he then saves them. You know, or because they want to churn the ocean, then Kurma. Like that, it was more or less this Leela avatars giving the jiva the free exercise their free choice, and then the Lord being extremely creative just takes that form to match and perform his wonderful pastimes. But it has can't give validity to Darwin's theory of evolution. But what we talk about evolution is the evolution of the consciousness rather than the body or the form.
Careful.
we find in the biography written by Rupa Vilas called The Ray of Vishnu, in the back a number of appendixes. And in the appendixes, this topic is mentioned, a quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, describing how the Lord appears in these various forms, who are all having appearances on a particular level of development in terms of more primitive and more complex bodies. And I can't remember verbatim the sequence he gives, but explains how the non-vertebrates and the vertebrates are coming to existence like that. There's a list given of the progression, and also he gives the progression of the various incarnations. And in terms of their appearance and complexity of their form relating to different forms of beings existing in the material world, different forms of bodies, less complex and more complex. Evolution is not so much the issue at hand, but the fact Darwin was wrong in the concept that one species evolved into the other, but Darwin was right in analyzing that there were less complex species and more complex species, obviously. And he analyzed those properly, and whether he got that from a Purana or whether he came up with it on his own is in question, because the list that he came up with follows the same sequence as Puranic evidence. But basically the point was that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta made in conclusion, after listing those different varieties of manifestations, that the Lord was appearing in these different ways to relate to the various living beings who had different states of consciousness, and that some remainders of these different states of consciousness would be there in the human form, in the consciousness of the human being, and this way in these different incarnations it was relating to particular mentalities. And that's the explanation that we find there.
And to that is also added the fact that the 84 lakh, that is 8400,000 species of life, actually the Lord is the original progenitor. So he created, so he also takes the form of these, which sometimes we don't even see in this particular planet. There are other planets where the Lord reveals his other forms.
I just wanted to also draw your attention to the Srimad Bhagavatam's cover. There is indeed, just as Sarvabhauma said, a planet here in the Vaikunthas, which is dedicated to Nrisingadev. Nrisingadev has his own planet right on the cover of the Srimad Bhagavatam, here in the corner, right where my finger is.
Does he look like?
I can't see.
I can't see. Seven.
Yeah, here he is.
That's a Vaikuntha
form.
May I say something in this regard?
Yeah.
Well, you see, the Ugra form, that the Lord actually is worshipped in three different forms. One is Prahlad Nrisingha, the other is Lakshmi Nrisingha, and Ugra
Nrisingha. I thought it's nine forms.
Well, that's basically, yeah. Basically, these are the three main categories, and under them then comes the different sub forms or the sub rasas that belong to one of these. But the Ugra Nrisingha is the only form which can be seen on Earth, on this planet. He never reveals this form in the spiritual world, in his Vaikuntha Loka. This form is not existent, because this form was taken particularly to annihilate a demon, a demonic force. So we won't be able to see the Ugra form in any of the pictures of Lord Nrisingadev in Vaikuntha.
However, it has to do something this line.
It does, because his name is Nrisingha. Exactly. Exactly. So Nrisingha.
I'm just noticing the time,
And the question is whether we want to continue. I believe at 11 o'clock we want to proceed with various events. So we want to keep with the schedule. So maybe we should stop now. Or did you have a burning point we wanted to make now?
No. My interesting is the Leela of Lakshmi Gishena. I don't know the story.
The Leela of Lakshmi Gishena. My knowledge is limited very much to what we have in the description of Bhagavatam. And my recollection is only that Lakshmi Devi is present after Nisimhadev kills Hiranyakashipu. Lakshmi Devi is there, along with several devatas who are shaking in fear because Nisimhadev is still angry. And they push Prahlad forward to pacify him. And those are the prayers we get in chapter 9. So Lakshmi Devi is there, and as I remember, most of the temples you find in Andhra Pradesh are Lakshmi Nisinga. So at some point, because as Nisinga is the eternal Lord, so he's always present with Lakshmi. I'm sure there are many pastimes described in each of these temples because they revel in the narrations of how Lakshmi appears in a particular form. Sometimes as an actual, apparently human being who then meets the Lord, and there are so many stories like that. And something. Okay, I think we'll stop for now. At 11 o'clock, we proceed with. Okay, with Garuda Avarohana. Shri Shri Prahlad Lakshmi Nrisimhadeva Ki
Jai.
Shri Nrisimha Chaturthi Mahamahotsava Ki
Jai.
Gaur Premanande
Hari Bol.